Hi, and welcome to Radio Gaga at Plymouth FM 104.6, sharing life and experiences from disabled people, by disabled people, for disabled people. Each week, we bring you stories based around our multiple abilities. You don't have to wait any longer to listen to insightful views, news, and reviews from around your community. We invite you to join us as we show you our community. Radio Gaga wants you to understand our dreams for a truly inclusive Auckland.
Welcome to Radio Gaga on 104.6 FM with Mel and Josh. How's your week going, Josh?
Good until I heard some sad news this morning. One of my brother's friends died and I knew him.
Oh no, what was he like?
Good guy. He died last night apparently.
Oh goodness, well rest in peace, your brother's friend. And on the show today, we're going to hear from Jono Heap about his dragon boating and how he's just gone to Hong Kong for some championships. Let's listen now to some latest music.
I stand in the corner like a tired boxer, one hand on my cheekbone, one hand on the rope. And all my veins pump blood into my throat so I can hit the net, go do it all again, tell them all I said hi. So sick and paralyzed. And I chew my gum on the left side of my mouth. Wonder when I'll spit it out. Yeah, I'll just get started.
Tell them all I said hi.
Today with Jono. How are you today, Jono?
I'm alright, thanks Mel. Yourself?
I'm really good. Now you're into dragon boating and you recently went to Hong Kong for a competition, didn't you?
Yeah, my team, the Lion Dragon Boat Club, went over to Hong Kong for a regatta. It's one of the oldest dragon boat regattas around. It's been going for about 40 years. There are about 200 odd teams and 5,000 paddlers there, so it was kind of dragon boat central for the few days it was on.
Yes, world central for dragon boating. So what is dragon boating?
It's a competitive racing sport which is in long, narrow kind of fiberglass boats, and you either have up to 12 or up to 22 people on the boat depending on whether it's a small boat or a standard boat. Obviously the standard boats are significantly longer and hold a lot more people. And each of the people in the boat have a straight paddle, which is either made of wood or carbon fiber, And the idea is to paddle the boat with perfect timing and technique to get it moving forwards through the water as quickly as possible without any sideways movement or, you know, up and down movement, you know, trying to pick up as much speed as possible. So it's kind of like Wakaama, which is in smaller canoes, but yeah, a little, there are differences as well.
All right. And were you in a smaller boat or a bigger boat?
We did both standard and small boats while in Hong Kong. So, yeah, in the small boat, you've got, yeah, 12 paddlers. Well, 10 paddlers, actually, and the person up the front calls and often beats a drum to keep the time. And the person at the back is the helm or the sweep who steers, so that's my job.
That's not really, but... So what does the sweep do? I mean, you know, have you been doing that particular role for a while?
Yeah, well, I haven't actually... swept, as it were, but the sweep has a longer sort of oar than the rest of us, and the sweep is responsible for basically steering the boat, keeping it away from other competitors in a race, or during a longer turns race, making the turns with as little drag on the boat as possible to keep the speed up. So, particularly in the longer races, the sweep is very important, and to have a competent sweep can make quite a bit of a difference to the team.
Yes, it'd be have to be very experienced at that. And it's a huge responsibility, it sounds like, because you don't want to go in the wrong direction.
No, that's not what you want.
Absolutely not. And why was it held in Hong Kong this year?
Well, Hong Kong, dragon boating originated in China a couple thousand years ago, apparently. So given that... given that Hong Kong is a... I'm not sure if it's a territory of China or just sort of another part of China or what, but it's very Chinese anyway. So there's a lot of dragon boating goes on there. A lot of local teams. They train 10 months out of the year because the weather is so so good for it. The only months that they stop are in July and August because it's too hot. So it's a huge sport over there, some real competitive teams, and it's been big for a long time in Hong Kong and China in general. So
how much training do you get out of the year? Because they would have 10 months, but obviously here in New Zealand, yeah, with the wild weather that we're actually having, yeah. I mean, how much training do you actually get?
Well, the season in New Zealand runs from October to April. But this year we trained until mid-June because the regatta was from the 22nd to the 24th of June. So we actually trained a couple of times a week through May and June. But generally the season would finish in kind of early April, early to mid-April, when the national championships are held.
Okay, and Jono, what attracted you to do dragon boating?
Well, I was in a bar, an Irish bar.
Yes.
This is where you find out everything. In early 2016, and I got chatting to a lady who had come into the bar, as you sometimes do, and I found out that she was from Liverpool. And we were having a chat about something inane, and out of the blue she sort of said, oh, have you ever heard of dragon boating? And I said I hadn't. And she explained sort of briefly what I explained before about what dragon boating was. And she said, look, you know, it doesn't matter if you're blind, you don't need to see to do it. It's all about feeling the stroke and timing and getting the feel for how the boat's moving and sort of learning innately how to hold the paddle and how to use it to get the most forward momentum you can. And so I kind of mulled this over for a while, and closer to the summer season, I thought, well, maybe I'll have a go at this because I hadn't really done any sports or athletic activities before, and I'd always been looking for something to motivate me to keep fit. So I had a look on the Auckland Dragon Boat Association website and checked out a couple of teams, and I managed to find Lion, who accepted me with open arms and who have been wonderful.
That's great, because you'd think, you know, with 22 or less... paddlers, do you call them?
Paddlers, yep.
Yeah, that having someone on your team that has low vision or that is blind, like yourself, Jono, that it would impair the rest of the team, but with them open their arms to you and giving you a chance, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, well, originally I think there were a few people on the team who thought along those lines too, like, how is this blind guy going to pick up the technique? How is he going to... Because one of the things they teach you initially in your Dragon Boat training is to watch the person in front of you for their timing and to sort of keep in time by watching the person in front of you. But obviously that's not something that I couldn't do. So it became a mutual quest to come up with another way of teaching me and an alternative means of me keeping in time. And now that's done by a sort of a combination of me feeling the stroke and getting the feel for how the boat's moving so I can plant my paddle in the water exactly the same time and pull out at exactly the same time as everyone else, but also the sweep or the caller, making sure to count strokes at certain points, you know, 1, 2, 3, so that if I am going out of time, I can get back into sync on the count, and that also keeps the rest of the boat awake and alive to what's happening.
Yes, and you'd make sure as a sweep you'd make it really loud so people, you know, that don't have a disability would actually learn how to just listen and not be able to, like, follow the person in front of them, because, you know, it's always better to listen for the count than follow someone in front of you that may be doing something not quite right.
Well, yeah, there is that aspect to it too, you know, the person in front might not be doing it right, but if you're all sort of watching the person in front of you and hopefully everybody's doing the same thing, then you should sort of achieve a synchronicity in the boat.
Yes, and do you think the rest of your team members have learned anything from you?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Yeah. I think it's been like a mutual learning experience. They have probably learned a bit about, you know, guiding and because obviously I'm... When we're in Hong Kong or when we're sort of out at regattas and something, I tend to latch on to somebody's arm to sort of get from place to place. So they've probably learned a little bit about sighted guiding techniques and how not to walk off the edge of the marina with someone on their arm or something.
Yes.
But no, it's been a real a two-way street. I've learned a great deal about dragon boating. I've learned how open the sport is and particularly how open Lion is to trying new things and embracing as many people and including as many people as they possibly can.
Yes, because I imagine, you know, with their philosophy on, you know, inclusiveness, they would include a whole diversity of people, of ethnicities and ages and abilities.
Yeah, well, dragon boating has always been a very inclusive sport. One of the divisions is the breast cancer survivors division, and the rule in that is that I think it's at least 60% of the team or something must be made up of people who have had breast cancer and have come out the other side of it or still have it and are receiving treatment for it. I don't know exactly how that started, to be honest, but it was something that the breast cancer community have really embraced because they need motivation and a reason to exercise, you know, to keep them wanting to fight this disease and wanting to, you know, improve their condition and stuff. And dragon boating has been a real motivator for the BC community like that.
Yes, it would be. It's a very collaborative kind of sport, I imagine, and you do need a full team that's committed to it, and, you know, supporting each other through that would just be amazing.
Yeah, it's quite something.
Did you come across any other disabled people that are doing dragon boating, particularly in China? Because I'm not sure if it's the most inclusive or accessible society over there.
Well, there was a team from the Philippines who I can't remember what they were called, but they were from an institute that sort of catered for people with, you know, quote-unquote disabilities or physical impairments, differently abled people, you might say. So everybody in that team was either in a wheelchair or had a limb missing due to some accident or some birth I hesitate to use the word defect, difference. And they competed, you know, the idea is that, you know, people think, oh, yeah, well, there's a special division for disabled athletes. No, they competed on the same level as everybody else, and they did extremely well.
Hey, that's great, because there's kind of nothing worse than saying, oh, no, you have to be in the Paralympics. You're like, but I train with, like, able-bodied people, and I live with able-bodied people, and, you know, I'm just like anyone else. I just have adapted and do it differently, but I still get it done, you know? So what else did you do in Hong Kong? Did you get to tour around a little bit?
A little bit. To be honest, we were pretty tied up with racing. I mean, the 3 days we were there, we sort of arrived at the venue around about 6:45, 7 o'clock, and often didn't get home till 9. So we didn't get a lot of time to tour, but we did do a little bit of running around on the subway, on the train system there, which are wonderful. And we got to chat with some of the locals. I had the last day, I had a beer with one of the locals who's lived there for 5 years, who's in IT, and got to chat with his family a bit and sort of absorb some of the local vibe. And on the last evening, with the organizers of the regatta, because we were hosted by the Hong Kong government, the Chinese government, so they put on a bit of a banquet for all the international competitors, and we got the opportunity to give a kapa haka performance, a waiata and a haka, sort of All Black style. And so that was a pretty invigorating, pretty uplifting performance, and everybody really enjoyed it. And it was a lot of fun to watch all the other performances as well, the Aussies and the Thai dancing and various other things went on that night. So it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Sounds like so much fun. And I was around a little bit when you were fundraising for your trip, and how much, like, roughly did it cost? Because people thinking of getting into a sport, you know, they may be worried, will I have to go international one day, you know, for competitions? Is it very difficult to fundraise for these kind of things?
Well, we were very fortunate for Hong Kong because of the hosted event. So basically what happens is you apply, and the organizers of the regatta have a look at your past results and your sort of commitment as a team, I guess, based on what events you've been to. And they choose whether or not to host you. And the hosting package included accommodation, race entry fees, and transfers from hotel to airport and things like that. It was pretty significant what they gave us. I don't have an exact figure for you, but just sort of thinking about how much accommodation cost in Hong Kong and everything, it's probably about $7,000 or $8,000 Hong Kong dollars per person. So it was a pretty handy chunk of change. We had to pay for our flights. That was about the only thing.
Well, that's not bad. Because, I mean, you'd know about going to the competition for a little while, so you'd have time to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't do any, like, official fundraising for this particular trip. We just sort of, everybody was responsible for paying for their own flights. But other years we have held I haven't been a part of it for a particularly long time, but other years we have held fundraisers for various events. The yearly costs for a paddler or for anybody who wants to join a dragon boat team is probably around about $600 or $700 once you've paid registration fees, club fees, regatta fees, various things like that, and you can also get your own paddles and things, and that's a choice that, you know, the individual can make.
Yes, well, it's always good to be well prepared when you start a sport. It's much like me with my line dancing. You know, I bought my boots, my $600 boots, before I even joined line dancing, and mind you, I need to step up my game on that.
Especially with
$600 boots. So, Jono, what are you most looking forward to next with your dragon boating?
Well, at the moment, I'm looking forward to recovering from this back injury that I managed to sustain. So, unfortunately, there's a regatta on the 21st of July, which I won't be able to take part in because of my back. So I'm just sort of resting that up, getting ready for the start of the season, which is usually early October. But throughout the year, we paddle on Sunday mornings. We tend to sort of paddle long distance on Sunday mornings just to keep people paddle fit. And we have regattas sort of scattered throughout the year. There's usually one in August or September. There's a regatta in Tauranga in mid to late October, which I'm really looking forward to. It was a lot of fun last year. And just, yeah, getting back into it in general, the challenge of it, the togetherness of the team, and the sort of self-fulfilling part of it that comes with actually being decent at a sport. I wouldn't have picked myself to be decent at a sport a couple of years ago. You know, if you'd said to me, Johnny, you're going to be going to Hong Kong or in Ashburton and Tauranga with your dragon boat team in a couple of years, I would have been like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just pretty fulfilling all around.
I mean, your perseverance, you know, for all these years that you've been in it, it's just amazing, Johnny. It's just their commitment, you know, just hearing about it in an Irish bar and they go, oh, my God, you know, can I do this? And you went and tried it. And I think, you know, probably you'd agree with me that just going and trying something initially is all you really need to do.
Well, and there was a point of it because it's a pretty cool story. I like to tell it. And there was a point in my initial Dragon Boat phase in sort of early 2016, late 2016, early 2017 when I'd just gotten into it. Where I had a real a sort of tipping point moment where I was like, "Do I want to do this sport? I don't really seem to be making a lot of progress. I'm not really enjoying myself that much." And I thought, "Well, stick with it for a little while longer because you're very new to the sport and you haven't given it quite enough time yet to be able to accurately judge how you are at it." And so I said, "I'll stick it out till the." Auckland Regional Championships, which were in early March. And so I did that, and I got there on race day and absolutely loved it. Fell in love with the sport on that day. So I guess, yeah, give it a chance. People say first impressions are most important, but I'm not sure I agree with that. Often first impressions can be a little misleading. You know, if it's needed, give something a little bit more time.
Yes, stick it out, work in it. And going to the race day, there would have been the hype there, and you're like, this is what it actually is made of.
That's right, and everybody said that, you know, you'll fall in love with it on race day. I sort of, yeah, okay, sure. But when I got there, that's exactly how it happened.
Great. Well, thank you, Jono, for joining me today, talking about your dragon boating, and I wish you the best of luck with your sport and your enthusiasm for the sport, because you don't often hear of blind or disabled people being in a sport like that. That takes a lot of, muscle, I suppose, to paddle, and yes, and you know, because you do have to follow a lot of cues, and people would say that you have to follow the person in front of you and, you know, go in the right direction, but you know, when you're with other people and they can understand how you do things, then it all works together.
Yeah, look, no, and it is a very inclusive sport. I would have struggled to come up with a name of an inclusive sport in which a blind person or somebody who was suffering from like a physical difference, you know, I don't like the word suffering, but
no.
Who had a physical difference could sort of compete on the same level as people who didn't. But dragon boating is definitely one of those sports.
Would you consider this a sort of therapeutic sport if someone, say, had an accident and they wanted to get back into, you know, a fulfilling life and including sport into their life?
Yeah, well, as long as they were well rehabilitated first, because it does put a lot of strain on your body, dragon boating. But I mean, I suppose any sport that you enjoy and which provides competition and which puts you into a team atmosphere where you've got to work collaboratively with other people is therapeutic. But obviously after you have an injury or an accident, you need to make sure you're recovered and rehabilitated first.
Absolutely. Oh, well, thank you, Jono. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Mel. You too.
I'd like to thank our sponsors today, Renaissance Group, a supporting living provider in Auckland. If you'd like to find them, you can find them at www.renaissancegroup.org.nz. Would you like to say goodbye, Josh?
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Viva les France. Ashes blowing in the air. Our world's on fire, but we don't care. Yeah.
feel sorry for this beat. Sympathy pays for this track. This road is taking me back down memory lane with this rap. I can still look out in this crowd, be wild and be taken aback. I'm simply stating a fact. I had Wrigley Stadium back, but now we're on a path headed to nowhere and fast. Another terrorist attacks like a tariff. Blows half of Madison Square up. Alas, we perish in the blast that isn't scaring us. We pass knowing we're fearless. Cause we're just
ashes flowing in the air.
It's tough to swallow. Living times, my heart, it seems like it's in the wrong place. It's probably cause it's on my sleeve. Keanu Reeves, speed of life, avoid a veer, or just get thwarted. We're only looking forward, but where we're going, we have no idea. Nowhere to go but hysterical. It's getting warm in here. I set the world on fire. Was born to be an arsonist. Just one spark and it's lit. But I'ma still get dark on this shit. Told you I'd leave my mark on this bitch. War machine, but you forced me in a corner. I'm sure to have something for your ear. And in the course of the assault, it's torture, it's more severe. Go to war with me, you end up blue to Timbuktu. I send it to a tent, a nuke like Kim Jong-un, and end up ruining your career. But when all is said and done, and at the end of my run, I just rewind clocks. Forever young, make time stop. Will I ever fall off that jail? Never come to the pine box. Bitch, fuck you. I'm better than I ever was. Till the bomb drops, hope it never does. But I'm not gonna sweat it, cause this world's screwed, it's already fucked, and I'm on top. So everyone's just...
ashes flowing in the air.
Radio Gaga. Remember, listen every Wednesday, 1 p.m. or any time online at planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Gaga, where we will share another week's insights. Also remember, this program is available for 7 days after this broadcast, so grab your friends, family, workmates and community groups to listen online when it suits them. Join us Wednesdays at 1 p.m. for more news from disabled people, by disabled people and for disabled people.